Hello to all of you who are listening to this message from Luke chapter 7. I was going to give it a few weeks ago, but I got sick. And I want to thank Chris Reveille for standing in for me at the last minute. We want to complete our series on Luke, so we thought that I would just try to fill in this one in our schedule, because Luke 7 is an important chapter. And we're going to be looking at Luke 7, 1 to 35. So if you want to read it, then you can pause the video, but I won't be reading it now, as I will be talking about each section. When we look at the gospel record, the miracles of Jesus come in many different situations. They're there to authenticate his message and to show that the kingdom of God has arrived. Jesus came in contact with real people who needed to see healing, exorcism. Sometimes they needed food, and sometimes they needed to see the power over nature exercised in different situations. What is Jesus doing when he does the miracles? Well, he is destroying the work of the evil one. And we now come to one passage that shows a different aspect of faith associated with miracles. And we can divide the passage into three sections corresponding to the headings in each chapter. These are faith in Jesus, faith of Jesus, and faith without Jesus. Let's look at faith in Jesus. Jesus's teaching before this section is very important. It is the teaching of the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus speaks with authority. And many people were amazed at his teaching. His authority was such that people wanted to respond. And one thing we know about authority is that it works from the top. And in this story, in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 11, we find a centurion who was part of an order of command where he was used to taking orders and complying immediately. This centurion, this man, was a middle-ranking military officer in Capernaum, taking orders from Caesarea, which was about 50 miles away. So when the centurion hears that Jesus is coming into Capernaum, he's intrigued because he has heard about Jesus' authority. And Jesus' authority is not less absolute than any other form of authority at the time. Unfortunately, the centurion has an ill servant who's very valuable to him. As a man in authority, he wonders how best he can deal with this situation. He thinks that he has no access to Jesus. Why? Because he's a Roman centurion. He is the outsider. But notice what he does. He co-opts the local Jewish leadership to ask Jesus if he would come and heal his servant. And when they get to Jesus, they act in accordance with the culture. You see, the local community in Capernaum are in debt to this man because the text says that he is very positive about the local people. He loves the people of Galilee. He loves the nation of Israel. And how does he love? Well, he shows it by his actions. What does he do? He finances the building of a synagogue for them. He shows respect and humility. There was no need for fellow Jews to protect themselves from a Gentile like this by drawing tighter circles around him. This man had grasped the center of the faith, that the God of Israel was the God of the whole earth, and he had grasped in its most shocking form. This one true God was present on earth in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Lord of the world, or isn't he? That's the question the centurion is asking by requesting that his servant is healed. What does Jesus do? Well, Jesus goes along with them. There's no hesitation on the part of Jesus. Where was Jesus going? Well, he was going to an unclean house. The house of the enemy. In the meantime, between the centurion deciding to approach Jesus and Jesus actually hearing the invitation, the centurion has surely been thinking about Jesus as the elders went to get him. And he works through the logic. If Jesus is who I think he is, then he does not need to come here. In fact, recognizing Jesus' authority, he realizes that socially, he's not even worthy of a visit by Jesus. This centurion knows about honor and he knows how it works. And so he sends a delegation of friends in verse 6 to Jesus. You see, if Jesus had gone to his house, he would have crossed the boundaries of the clean and the unclean. And here, the centurion is yet another illustration of Luke's intention in writing. What was that? It was that he would write about servants of the word. Verse 7, the centurion knows that Jesus' word is sufficient. He knows what it is like to exercise authority and to get people to do what he says. And Jesus is amazed at this response, and he uses it as another opportunity to teach the crowd. Look at this centurion, he says. This man's faith is simple and clear. And what's more, here is an example of faith from outside the nation. When the servants get home, they find a healed servant. Because when Jesus says something, it happens. Words have power. You see, here Jesus shows us that the local issues of Jewish identity, the ideas of nationalism, Galilee was a very nationalistic area, and the lines of defilement were areas that Jesus paid little attention to. Earlier on in Luke chapter 4, his Nazareth manifesto has shown a greater vision. This is what God is all about. It's about good news, freedom from the release of slavery, as it says in 4 verse 24. And Jesus withdraws the boundaries. And in chapter 6, when he's talking from the Sermon on the Plain, he talks about what it is to be free. Who is salvation for? Well, it certainly includes the centurion who has faith in Jesus and is commended by Jesus for having that faith. So that's the first point, faith in Jesus. The second point is the faith of Jesus. Now, you might be wondering at that point, Chris, how can you talk about the faith of Jesus? Surely Jesus, as the divine Son of God, he doesn't really need to have faith. Well, if you think about it for a moment, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And part of his humanity, which we see especially in John's gospel, was Jesus' total dependence on the Father. And as Jesus went through his ministry, he had the faith that what he was doing was exactly what the Father wished. And that comes out in John's gospel and in many other places. So it is legitimate to talk about the faith of Jesus. Here is the opportunity that shows it. Jesus is on his way to Nain, a town near Nazareth, where his disciples and along, as usual, he's followed with large crowds. As was common custom, the dead bodies were carried outside the town for burial, and Jesus meets such a procession. What would normally happen is that the crowd will walk behind the funeral bier, with the family crying in the hot sun. There would have been professional mourners and wailers, with others coming along with spices to wrap the body. It is a maelstrom of emotion and action. The whole community is involved as they head to the burial plot outside the town, probably a cave in a local hill. But suddenly, as this procession leaves the town, a group of strangers arrive, traveling in the opposite direction. The dead person is the only son of a widow. It's a great personal loss, but she is not looking for anything else than the burial of her son. Jesus has compassion on the crying widow and tells her not to cry. And then he goes straight to the coffin, touches it, and commands the young man to get up. This is really risky behavior. He is violating the laws of cleanliness about dead bodies and coffins. What happens? The man is raised from the dead. Jesus shows that he has the power over life and death. And that is a picture right before these ordinary people of what Jesus is doing when 1 John 3:8 says that he is destroying the works of the evil one. What is the ultimate work of the evil one? Well, it is death, isn't it? It's the sin that leads to death. And what Jesus is showing these people right here, just people going about their daily business, look, here is the possibility of life over death. What was their reaction? They were filled with awe and praised God. Jesus is a prophet of God and has come to his people to help them. They remember 1 Kings 17, the ministry of Elisha. They remember the ministry of Elijah. Elisha raised dead people. That was acknowledged as a time when God had visited people. And what the people are saying is, wow, this is happening again. This happened in the time of Elisha. Now it's happening in the time of Jesus. We have another resurrection from the dead. And you can imagine how excited the people are because this news goes far and wide. In this incident, only Jesus has faith that the young man might be raised from the dead. Jesus likes to see signs of faith, but he's not restricted to that. There is a connection here with Jesus' resurrection. This man was raised back to ordinary life. The sting of death would eventually come to him. But when Jesus is raised from the dead, it is to a resurrection body that will last forever. These two stories take the commands of Luke chapter 6, the Sermon on the Plain, and show what this life looks like on the ground. God's love, the kingdom, is going out into new, unexpected places. It's going across the barriers of nationality. It's going across the barriers of cleanliness or uncleanliness. It is generous new life. And the question comes, who on earth is Jesus? Who does Jesus think he is? What do these actions say about Jesus' role and mission? And that is the question that comes in our last section, which is entitled Faith Without Jesus. It starts in verse 18. What's happening here? Well, John the Baptist is in prison and he is puzzled. His question is, where is the messianic kingdom? Is he being told to love his enemies? Should John the Baptist then love Herod, who put him in prison, as Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 27? John lingers in prison. He's wondering if his sacrifice is worthwhile. Is he demoralized? Is his message being authenticated as not? In Luke 4, quoting Isaiah, Jesus had promised freedom for prisoners. And John is wondering, Jesus, I'm in prison. Where's my freedom? So his question comes from personal angst, his own situation, as well as his observation of what he sees Jesus teaching and doing. The question itself is oblique. Are you the one who is to come? He has heard of what Jesus has done since his baptism. But John is in prison and he's wondering. Like Elijah, John had preached in terms of coming judgment, but here was Jesus preaching in veiled terms and bringing blessing and not much judgment. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, John's forerunner, had had a similar experience. Do you remember? After Mount Carmel, that great victory over the prophets of Baal, he is depressed. He beat the prophets of Baal. But do you remember? He didn't beat Jezebel. Jezebel was still around to annoy Elijah. And John the Baptist has something of the same problem. Herod is still around annoying John the Baptist. And as he looks at Jesus' ministry, he sees what Jesus is doing, but he wonders, is he the one who is to come? So how does Jesus reply? He says, draw your own conclusions from the evidence of miracles in verse 21. To the servants who John has sent, he says, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. Jesus replied from the Bible using the Isaiah passages that he had used in Luke 4. The Isaiah passages also refer to judgment, but Jesus does not go that far. Why not? Because today is the day of salvation. The blessings of the kingdom are here now because Jesus is with the people. And judgment is delayed. But when you look at the text, Jesus also omits another sentence from the passage in Isaiah. Did you notice it? As he reiterates much of his message of Luke 4, he leaves out the release of prisoners. And then he says to John the Baptist, do not fall away on account of me. This is a warning. There are people who see and experience the ministry of Jesus, but still do not believe. Miracles are not irrefutable proof of faith. Faith is still required. And it seems that John has begun well and must avoid stumbling. And there is an implicit challenge here to re-examine one's Christian life and to bring it into line with what the Lord Jesus Christ says and does. And the thing about John the Baptist here is that he is satisfied with the answer of the word from Jesus. And as you know, John was not released from prison. In fact, he was beheaded. And yet, in prison, as Luke said at the beginning, talking about servants of the word, it was the word of Jesus through his servants to John the Baptist languishing in prison that changed the situation. And that is always the case, brothers and sisters. It will be the word of God that will help us to survive in whatever particular situation God has put us. Now, that's not the end of the story, because when John's disciples have gone away satisfied, Jesus looks to the crowd and he asks them a question. When you went out into the desert in the time of John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? This is an acute question, because whose face would the people have been most familiar with? What he would have said, for example, if we look in our pockets, if we have a coin, you look on a British coin, you will see a picture of the Queen on it. Now, we all know what she looks like from the publicity about the royal family. But in Jesus's day, there would have been only one picture that people were familiar with. Who was that? Whose picture is on the coins? Coins were the only pictures that people would see regularly. It was the only mass medium in the ancient Near East. And it was one way of getting a symbol across to the people. So, what did Herod choose for his coins? When he took over the area of Galilee, he chose a typical Galilean reed for his coin. That is the importance of Jesus' reference in verse 24. There were beds of reeds swaying in the breeze by the shores of the Lake of Galilee, which would symbolize the beauty and fertility of the area. So what did you go out to see? He asked the crowds, a new king? He is a reed swaying in the wind. A fashion icon? No, you went to see a prophet in the wilderness. Who was he? He was the advance guard for Jesus. You did not go to a place, but you went to a person. And here we have Herod and John the Baptist with Jesus in between them. Is Jesus just a prophet or a new king? Is Jesus God's anointed? Is Jesus God's king? Because if he is, then he is a direct threat to King Herod. Well, here and in other parts of the scriptures, but especially in verse 28, Jesus makes clear that his kingdom is operating on a different principle. John the Baptist is the one from Malachi. He has a vital role in testifying to Jesus, but he is the last of the prophets. He points to the one, Jesus, who will come to the temple, cleanse it of its unholiness, and bring the judgment of God and mercy to Israel as a whole. But those who belong to Jesus are greater than those who follow John the Baptist. And Luke then explains that Jesus' ministry, following on that of John the Baptist, is gaining recognition. Even when the tax collectors, for they were baptized by John for repentance and faith, came out to him, they began to recognize who Jesus was. And did you notice here that it was the tax collectors and sinners who responded by being baptized by John the Baptist, but the religious leaders refused to participate? And this is quite important, really, because what happened was that those people, the tax collectors and sinners who went to see John the Baptist, they said, oh yes, we were baptized by John. They could look back to their baptism as an act of repentance, as an act of response to John, in a way that the religious leaders could not. And that shows us one of the theological importances of baptism. You see, if you're a believer and you've been baptized, and you're under assault by Satan, or you're under assault by the circumstances of the day, or you're wondering if you're a Christian, you can look back and say, no, Lord, I was baptized. I went down into the water. I have been raised to new life. And you can remember that event in your life. But the religious leaders and the Pharisees who refused to participate, they couldn't do that. However, people were complaining that John the Baptist was too severe. And in contrast, Jesus was too much like the life and the soul of the party. And as Jesus says, wisdom is needed to see what is happening. The rightness of God's plan for the world is shown by those who accept it. Amen.